You know what you need when you have to wait for somebody? What is it you need? What are we speaking about today? Some of you peeked. You looked at your notes. Just a few quotes on the subject. But I thought I'd make you wait. You know, a Christian should always be wanting to be more patient. So they should pray for patience. Something like this: Lord, give me patience right now. I have to pray for patience with certain people, because if I pray for strength, I might throw them out the window. It takes patience to listen. It takes skill to pretend that you're actually listening. You know, marriage requires patience, doesn't it? Some people marry because they lack judgment. Then they divorce because they lack patience. And then some of them remarry because they lack good memories. A man commented to his lunch companion, "My wife had a funny dream last night. She dreamed she married a millionaire." His companion said, "Oh, you're lucky. My wife dreams that in the daytime." You know, we always wish for more. More money. More time. More relationship. Some of these things require patience. Many things take a lot of time and patience. A woman rushed up to a famed violinist, Linda Coomer, or Fritz Kreisler, after a concert and cried, "I'd give my life to play as beautifully as you do." And Kreisler replied, "I did give my life to do that." A lot of things take time. A little boy was standing at the end of an escalator, and the sales lady asked, "Son, are you lost?" The little boy said, "No, ma'am. I'm just waiting for my chewing gum to come back." You know, we should be patient and waiting for the right things, right? You heard this story, I'm sure. The two frogs who fell into a tub of cream, and the one looked at the high sides of the tub, which were too difficult to crawl over, and said, "It's hopeless." So he resigned himself to death. He relaxed, he sank to the bottom, and he died. The other was determined to just keep swimming as long as he could. Something might happen, he said. He kept kicking and churning, and finally he found himself on a solid platform of butter and jumped to safety. Sometimes things take time, and we just need to be patient. We need the grace to learn to be patient. God is patient. Romans 15:5, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus." How are we to be like-minded? Like the God of patience. We need to have that patience like God has. I have heard people say that they think the Old Testament focuses on God's wrath, judgment, punishment for disobedience. The New Testament, it focuses on God's grace and mercy to overlook and forgive people's disobedience. Well, that's not really a great perspective. You see, God's love and patience has always been in balance. His love and his patience with justice and holiness. When God first gave the Ten Commandments and orders for how Israel was to worship and obey God under the age of Old Testament law, God declared the balance then of God's mercy and grace and patience and goodness and forgiveness, along with his righteous need to judge and punish iniquity. Those two themes emphasized in God's giving of his commandments are in the following text. Reading from Exodus chapter 34. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed, "In the name of the Lord." And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Does that sound like a God of judgment? That's a God of love and mercy and patience. By no means does he clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Yes, there is judgment possible in the Old Testament from God, and in the New Testament day, the age we live in today too. But God has also always been a God of love and patience and mercy. God is love. He's merciful, gracious, long-suffering, good, truthful, merciful, forgiving. Those are things we see in that text. But also God is just and holy, not clearing the guilty. He punishes iniquity even through the second and third generations. When God revealed himself through Moses to the people of Israel, he attested that he is the God who will restrain his wrath and cause his grace and loving kindness to rule. We're made in the image of God, and we have the possibility of being angry and the possibility of just love and mercy and long-suffering and patience, both. God is that way. God's patience is really a delay of God's wrath, a delay of his wrath. I could say more about that, but I've got a long enough message, so I'm going to skip some things. Patience, next point is patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Agree? I think we saw that in the bulletin today, the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. That's part of the fruit of letting the Holy Spirit work and live through our lives. God commands patience of us. Not only should it be a natural product of our Christian life, letting God, the Holy Spirit, live through us, but it's commanded. God commands us to be patient. For example, Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So often we want to get ahead of God. We want things now. We want to do things our way instead of waiting on God. Agree? God says, wait on the Lord. The command to wait on the Lord implies that sometimes we fail to wait. The command to wait on the Lord implies that God will do things if we just wait long enough. We want to do things ourselves instead of waiting for God to do some of the things he wants to do instead of us. God is able to do things. God does do things. God is involved in the affairs of this world. God blesses and he curses. He answers prayer. He does change things. If you don't believe that, I doubt if you have much of a prayer life. If you believe God is active, attentive, and wants to do stuff, then you should be fervent in prayer. Yes? Next, when we are impatient with people, or impatient even with circumstances, or even impatient with ourselves, in reality, with whom are we being impatient? We're being impatient with God, aren't we? God doesn't want us being impatient in those ways. God wants us to be so in tune with him, so trusting him, that we can be patient with circumstances, with people, with whatever. Because we're here doing what God wants at God's time with every situation. Ourselves, others, or circumstances. As Christians, we believe God is in control of things. The logical extension of this fact is that when we get impatient with things, we're in a way pointing our finger at God and saying, God, you're not in charge. God, I don't like your time schedule. I don't like how you're doing things. I don't like when you're doing things. We're impatient with how God is working around us. Shame on us for being like that. God does things on His schedule, not necessarily when we want Him to do things. God is the authority, not us. God does not usually do things on our time plan. How many have noticed that before? Have you noticed God getting in line with you and doing everything you say? God's not supposed to be at our command. We're supposed to be waiting on Him and obeying Him. We, His creation, must wait on the Lord to do what God wants when He wants and be part of His plan in whatever way He wants us to be. God teaches us patience through a particular book, the Scriptures. God wants us to learn patience through the Scriptures. For whatever things were written in what book is He talking about? The Bible. Whatever things were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. This book helps us learn patience. Romans 15:4. God also teaches us patience through something else. Starts with T. Something we don't like. Tribulations. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Man, that's a pretty spiritual person who wrote this. Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans. We glory in tribulations. We're glad to go through rough times. We're glad to go through struggles. We're glad to go through persecution. We're glad to get flogged and whipped and cursed and put down and put in jail. Why? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Same verse, tribulation, and God's love is poured out to us to respond to tribulation in an unbelievable, magnificent way. Are you there yet? Am I there to that spiritual level yet? That's the kind of patience that God wants us to have. Trusting God, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, ability to continue on patiently through trials. Paul praised God for how tribulations in his life produced good things for him. It produced perseverance, it produced character, and it produced hope. He found good things out of bad circumstances. He was a positive person, not just positive thinking, but he was positive in the sense that he had God's perspectives. We depend even more on God's love given by the Holy Spirit when we go through tribulations in life. You know, a lot of people pray sometimes, but when do the people pray lots? When they're going through difficulties, isn't it? When they're going through hard times, when they have a real problem, something they can't fix themselves. You know, if they can fix it, God, I'll take care of it myself, thank you. Terrible. But when they can't fix it themselves, when nothing else will work but God, that's when they pray. A lot of times, God allows tribulation, persecution, problems, in order to get us where we should have been all along, praying and trusting God, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. So let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Maturity involves learning to be patient through testing of your faith. The tests of our faith produce faith, patience. The development of patience is a work. It's a work of God's grace that takes time to develop. When we are mature in our patience, we become quite perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The Word of God says that. So perfect patience is one of the last steps of perfection that we can acquire. We can look for such perfection and completeness in heaven more than we can in the realities of this life here and now. But let's don't just wait to heaven to become complete and mature. Let's let God work us to that point of maturity as soon as possible in our lives, here in this life. Patience involves hoping and looking for the salvation of the Lord. It's good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord, Lamentations says. Patience involves hoping and looking for the salvation of the Lord. When nothing else would work, God, not just saving our soul from hell, the salvation way we usually think is getting saved, trusting Christ as Savior, right? Now, if somebody's here today and has never had that experience of accepting that Jesus died for your sin in your place, I urge you at this point to consider seriously today accepting Jesus as your Savior. The salvation of our soul from hell is not the only way of considering salvation. We're saved from circumstances. We're saved from situations. We're saved from people. We're saved from ourselves. God teaches us patience when we have to hope and look for the salvation that God can bring to us in our situations. Lamentations 3:26. God puts us in positions where we need to exercise faith and courage and patience to wait on the Lord. Our duty is to exercise that faith and courage and hope and patiently wait on the Lord for Him to bring about whatever it is He wants to do to save us from the situation. Not only is patience involved in our looking, our hoping for salvation from God, but in the coming of the Lord. Patience involves hoping and looking for the coming of the Lord. How many here believe that Jesus is going to come one day? I heard somebody from behind this pulpit just a few minutes ago saying, "Lord, come." He's looked up and said, "Like, God, come today, anytime. Are you ready?" We're looking for the coming of Jesus. Amen? And that looking, that hoping, that waiting for the coming of the Lord builds patience. "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it till it receives the early and latter rain. And also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Twice in these two verses is the idea of waiting for the coming of the Lord and be patient. Waiting for the coming of the Lord and be patient. That raises the question, if we have to be patient, that means it might not be right now. Might not be in our time schedule. We've been waiting for 2,000 years now. The church has. I believe the early Christians literally took these verses literally and were waiting for the possibility of the Lord to return in their lifetime. Don't you? And I'm looking for the possibility in my lifetime. And the way things are getting and the way all of Scripture is being fulfilled, I think it's more likely in my lifetime than it was in the apostles' lifetime. When we talk about worldwide things, their world was pretty small compared to world today. Things happen in China and we know about it as it happens, live, today. Opposite side of the world. Not here to speak about economics, but the economic prophecies. It is chilling to think how this world is ready for collapse. And the tribulation. I believe the Lord's coming. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. It may still be in my lifetime. And I'm older than some of you. Patience involves hoping and looking for the coming of the Lord. We should be patient looking for that. We should establish our hearts, make whatever heart adjustments are needed as we anticipate Christ's coming. If you have a heart problem, and I'm not talking about a physical heart problem where you need to go to the doctor and get it checked out. I'm talking about a relationship with the Lord, a relationship with people. If there's something wrong with your relationships, get those problems quickly resolved. We should be looking for Christ's return and it motivates patience from us. We see all that in James 5, 7, 8. Romans 15, 5, patience involves showing patience and comfort toward others, just like God shows those characteristics to us. May the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another. May we show God's type of patience and comfort to people around us. Even today here at Fellowship Bible Church, we shared a prayer request downstairs, and some people have come around and said, you're going to be praying with us in behalf of our needs. I saw one lady even come and put her arm around my wife and say, we're praying for you. That's what God wants from Christians, amen? For us to show love and patience and comfort, encouragement to each other. God is the God of patience. Showing comfort goes along with showing patience. We are commanded to show patience and to show comfort to one another. It takes a right relationship to Christ Jesus, that verse says. According to Christ Jesus. If you don't have that right relationship with Christ Jesus, it is difficult for you to show the kind of comfort and patience God expects out of you. If you have the right relationship with God, you can show comfort and patience in super ways. I could even maybe say supernatural, but that's maybe pushing the verse. God is the God of patience. Showing comfort goes along with it, and you've got to have that right relationship. Now, next is patience involves courage. You never think of courage and patience going together. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. The command to wait on the Lord is connected with the command being of good courage. As we wait on the Lord, as we look for his return, as we look for his return, it encourages us to have more patience and showing more comfort, and it also encourages us to have more courage. Patience involves not only courage, but it involves faith. It takes faith to wait on the Lord. If we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience or perseverance. Romans 8:25. We have to exercise faith to hope and wait for things that we can't see now. How God's going to work things out for us? It takes faith. We can be more patient if we believe, truly believe, God is at work. God's going to work it out. It takes faith. Maybe you're of little faith and need to pray that your faith increase. Patience involves also perseverance. Hoping and waiting with perseverance. The idea there is endurance. Being able to endure, to patiently endure. Patience involves endurance. Hebrews 10:36. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. It takes some patience. You got to be enduring and working for the Lord for an extended long period of time until someday, at some point, later on, God rewards it. Doesn't happen back when you wanted it. It's later on. We need to be able to endure with faith and courage and patience. They go together. Patience is like running an endurance race. Hebrews 12:1. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Notice a number of things about this idea of running. Last few years, Donita and I have been running a 5K race. And incidentally, last year, she came in first place for the age group. What did I come in? First two? The previous year, we were both second place, I think. Oh, I was first 2 years in a row, and you were second. Anyway, we just found out. We just got encouraged. If anyone wants to run a 5K for a fundraiser for a community Christian school, I can give you some information where you can sign up for it. But I know from experience, running a 5K, and now they want to make it a 10K. Just a 5K takes endurance. It's painful. It hurts. It doesn't. You don't run it because it makes you feel better and better and better every step you take. After so many steps, you feel like quitting. You feel like hanging it up. You feel like sitting on a curb. You're ready to throw in the towel, except you don't have one. And you're sweating. Oh, man. You know, sometimes the Christian life is like that. We are commanded to don't stop and lay aside, and we're to lay aside the weights and the sins that ensnare us, and we're to keep on running with endurance. That word endurance is the same Greek word as the word we looked at in the previous point, perseverance. We're to run with endurance. We're to run with perseverance. We're to run with the desire to not stop. Patience involves doing the will of God. Doing the will of God. Whose will? My will? Doing everything my wife tells me to do? Doing everything my kids want? Doing everything to please everybody else in this world? Who should I be concerned about pleasing? Folks, we should be concerned about what does God want? What pleases God? What is His will? That should motivate our life every minute of every day. God, what pleases you? For you have need of patience so that after you have done the will of God, then you're going to receive the promise. Is God going to bless those who live God's will in their lives? You know, if we could take, say there was 30 people here, and we were to rate everybody on the basis of how much did you live for yourself, for others, etc., or how much did you live for God, which includes doing some things for yourself, doing some things for others, doing some things for your family, but doing it for God first and foremost. The ones that did more, most, always, as much as possible for God instead of for yourself, aren't they going to get the greater rewards? We should be motivated, like in a race, to be first. Not just to be competitive with each other, but to be first and foremost, pleasing God always for those rewards. There will be rewards. There will be promises given. Patience involves humility as opposed to pride and anger. Now, it says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Notice again this idea of waiting on the Lord and the connection with not being angry. In fact, it says, cease from anger. That implies that we're pretty easily angered. You know, we are angered because we lack this quality of patience. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do you want to be called a fool? Do you want to consider yourself a fool? Lacking patience, getting quickly angry, you're a fool. God wants you instead to be able to be patient. If you quickly get angry at somebody for what they're doing, that it's not what you want, it's not what you like, you're angry with them for whatever reason, you're lacking patience. God wants us to be patient. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Don't fret. It only causes harm. Instead, wait on the Lord and learn patience. Instead, the patient in spirit is better than the one that gets quickly angry. Next, people are either patient, thinking more of others, or proud, thinking more of themselves. Think of that for a moment. Patience is thinking more of other people than of yourself. If you're impatient, who are you thinking about? If you're patient, you're more concerned about them, their growth, their well-being. Being proud is thinking of yourself. Being patient is being concerned more about the well-being, the development, the maturity, the direction, the timing, the whatever the need is in somebody else. People get angry, quickly angry. They haven't developed the quality of patience in their life. Anger overflows from fools who have not developed the quality of patience. I am sure glad my wife is so loving and so patient toward me. And I say it publicly. I confess I am not as patient with her as I should be. Sometimes my tone of voice expresses impatience. Are you ready yet? It's time to go. But I'm the only husband that ever had that, right? She is so patient with me. I am so thankful and so convicted of this message, applying it to me. I have got to grow in this grace, this area of maturity, to be more patient. God commands that we cease from anger and forsake wrath. Anger and wrath are easy to evoke, especially in some people. Some people, if you notice, are more easily angered than others. They just tend to live on the edge. Do you want to be like that? Is that the way a Christian should be? Or should we be as far from that edge as possible? We are held responsible for our anger and wrath. Responsible to God and the effects of anger. How many times when you get angry, it usually has an immediate effect. Sometimes it has a good immediate effect. Your kids obey you because you're angry now. That you've gotten them to the limit and they better obey now, even if they didn't before. And that tends to be counterproductive for us to learn that getting angry finally gets desired results. But long term, is that going to produce desired results? Long term, it's counterproductive. Anger and fretting go together. Being patient allows a person to no longer fret. We fret, we stew, we worry, we get concerned about things. If you're patient, you're trusting the Lord. You don't have to be so stewed up, so impatient. So you don't have to fret. You don't have to be upset. It helps you to not be upset and fretting. Showing anger and fretting causes harm, sometimes incredible harm. Next, patience involves confidence. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Same context there. Patience builds up confidence. Patience involves anticipation of reward. We already talked about that in Hebrews 10, 35 to 36, same verse. Notice that the idea is great reward. Don't cast away your confidence. It has great reward. You have need of endurance after you have done the will of God so that you may receive the promise. Twice in that verse, the idea of reward or promise. There's a blessing from God. There is a benefit. God is going to reward those who continue in patience. Next, patience involves anticipation of Christ's return to us. We already talked about that a little bit before. Hebrews 10:37. For a little while, yet a little while, and he who will come, who is coming, will come and will not tarry. Now, I think that's almost amusing to me. A little while, yet a little while, he who is coming will come. That was written quite a long time ago. But you know what? Even if it was 2,000 years ago, how long is that compared to eternity? If you were to put a line across the front of the church here and put a little dot in the line, that little dot could represent the amount of time that planet Earth exists. There was eternity before, and there's eternity after it, and eternity is a long time. We don't need to put God on our time frame. We need to get on his time scale. A little while. At some point, God is coming, and we need to be ready for it. And we should be anticipating blessings and rewards when that happens. Next, patience involves resting in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Notice the idea, the command is to rest. The alternative is to fret. People fret because of others who prosper in their way. Some people fret. They look at other people and say, how come they're getting ahead? How come they got a promotion? How come they've got a nicer house? How come they've got a nicer car? How come they have more income? How come they have more positive things in their life? They fret because of others. They fret because of others who make wicked schemes to happen, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Sometimes Christians fret because sin abounds, and those sinners seem to get away with it. And we're almost jealous, like, wish I could do the things they do, but I know I shouldn't. And we fight and struggle over it. We should rest in the Lord and just know it'll pay off, living the Christian life, walking the straight and narrow. It will pay. Big dividends, multiplied exponentially. It will be so worth it all when we see Jesus. Let's don't fret over people who get away with sin, prosper, it seems like it, in their sin. Patience involves imitating those who, through faith and patience, inherit promises. And this is kind of almost amusing. You look at Scripture and think of the people, and if you look at Hebrews 6 and look at all the different heroes of the faith, and you say, well, when did they receive the promise of blessing? And this sermon's not on that alone. If I was preaching just Hebrews 6, we could spend our whole time in that. All those people listed. Did they receive their promise and their blessings in their lifetime, generally? It's future, long distant. But they stayed faithful their whole life, the ones mentioned there. And they're mentioned for us that we would imitate them through faith and patience. Direct implication is that Christians do exist to exemplify faith and patience. They existed back in the days of the Old Testament. Do they exist today too? Are there Christians who live by faith today? We should imitate. We should follow after. We should become like them. Be patient. We're commanded to imitate Christians who display faith and patience. The fact that Christians who exercise faith and patience will inherit promises, that should motivate us. They receive promises. We will receive promises. The alternative to exercising faith and patience is to become, in this verse, sluggish. Sluggish. I don't want to be labeled sluggish. Hebrews 12:1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily ensnares us, and let's run that with endurance, the race that is set before us. So we are motivated by the number of biblical examples of witnesses of people, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, people willing to patiently serve God by faith. That should motivate us. Next, patience should involve looking to Jesus, our example of enduring pain and shame for God's glory. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. Did Jesus go through some difficult times? Sure did. We should look to him and say, if he could go through those things by the power and grace of God's Spirit resting upon him and telling us that we should be looking to him and be following his example, then we should do so. He endured the cross, despised the shame, and now he's sat down at the right hand of God, at the throne of God in heaven. We also can endure and despise shame. Can figure, who cares about shame? Who cares about people deriding us? Who cares about people making fun of us? I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to live for God to the very last. Christ's endurance of both pain and shame at the cross motivates us to exercise patience in our life. Christ's position of being the one who gave us our faith motivates us to exercise patience. And Christ's joy in doing what God the Father wanted him to do, tells us how we should be glad to do whatever God calls us to do too. We should rejoice in all things. We should consider it positive, joyful things, what God allows in our lives, even what seems negative to other people. Next, patience involves letting go of everything which holds us back from serving the Lord. You know, the devil, this world, even our own family, friends, loved ones, people around us, they all want to kind of hold us back. They're wanting to pull us their way. They're wanting to pull us away from serving God. And God wants us to let go of all that and serve God for all we're worth. When running the 5K race, I haven't noticed anybody carrying heavy backpacks, large amounts of things. They dress lightened up. They lay aside things that would slow them down. Wait on the Lord. Letting go of things that hold us back. God blesses a person when he exercises patience. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up like wings of eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How many verses have we looked at today that talk about waiting on the Lord? Oh, if we could just get that through our heads and wait on the Lord. It takes courage, but God will strengthen our heart and God will enable us to accomplish much things and we will be blessed for it. Waiting on the Lord results in renewed strength. God lifts up to new heights those who exercise patience. God gives perpetual energy and God keeps us going. So let's make application today before we leave. A few questions concerning your patience. Ask yourself, with whom do you express impatience? There's times when I show impatience to my wife, and I'm sorry. There's times I show impatience to my kids, and I regret it. I am sorry. With whom are you impatient? Maybe it's in your family, maybe it's at work, maybe it's in church, maybe it's with neighborhood. With whom are you impatient? You might even write it down. How do you express impatience? It might be subliminal. It might be obvious. But it might be just by a look. Just a look of disdain. A turning of your face. A scowl. Tone of voice. Or it might be more direct. Are you willing to confess your impatience both to God and to those that you've been impatient with? Are you willing today to repent of impatience, to turn from it, to change your mind about it and say, I'm not going to continue being impatient. I'm going to work on this problem, this sin in my life. What points in today's message, if you would just apply them, could help you show more patience and hereby show forth more godliness? Here's some of those points, how to be more patient. Live by the Spirit. Produce more of the fruit of the Spirit. Wait on the Lord longer and better. Learn to wait on the Lord. Quit taking everything into your own hands, having your own way, doing your own thing. Tune in to the Scriptures. Get back into God's Word. Get more into God's Word on the subject. Accept tribulations to develop more patience. Thank God for tribulations. Realize from them that God is working in your life to mature you, to develop you, to give you opportunities to show forth the fruit of God. Look beyond the present to the coming of Jesus. When you're tempted to be impatient and say things and do things you shouldn't, to get angry and say, God, you could come today. Help me to be what I should be to the very end. Imitate those who suffered by faith and patience, received promises for it. Look to Jesus who endured pain and shame. So if Jesus could take what he went through in life, I can too. God help me by your grace and strength. You've given me Jesus to be an example. Help me to follow him. Use my trials to help comfort others. Get involved in helping others. You know, when you're impatient with a situation in your life and you go alongside somebody else who has it even worse, it makes you feel better, don't you? Doesn't it? Use your trials to help comfort others. Pray that God builds you up in more courage, faith, perseverance, endurance, humility, confidence, and desire to do his will. Let go of everything that holds you back from serving the Lord. That's a review of the message today. Quite a few points. I know it's not one point in a poem. A lot to handle, a lot to digest. You've got the notes. You've got the scriptures listed. Digest it and let it produce patience in your life for the glory of God. Amen. We all could grow in this area. Heavenly Father, I pray for all of us, including myself, that we would learn to be more patient. God, help us to be patient like Jesus is with us. You could have thrown us out a long time ago. Even as Christians, we're still sinners and we fail you over and over, and you still hold out the rod of peace, the ability for us to confess sin, to get things right again. Thank you, Lord, that our eternal destiny was confirmed by Jesus dying on that cross and paying the price in full. But we still need to become more like Jesus. We need to serve you and work for you and be more like what you want us to be in this area of patience versus anger and fretting. Help us to grow. Help us all. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Again, if somebody's here that needs help in any way, we'll stick around a few minutes. You're sure welcome to come and talk to me or to my wife. And you know one another. Maybe you trust them even better. Go to somebody in the church and say, I need help in this area of patience. I need encouragement. I need accountability. I need prayer, whatever it is. Would you do that with each other? God bless you. Everybody who wants to leave in good, right relationship with one another and with the Lord, smile at me. The rest of you may stay here as long as you want. God bless you.